Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, while you're turning, if you invite somebody to church Sunday, I'm going to warn you, I am preaching on salvation Sunday morning.
Amen.
Anybody that knows somebody that's a hard case, somebody that's you're afraid to witness to, somebody that's lost that might need some assurance of salvation, Sunday morning will be a good sermon for them. It's done. It's loaded. It's sitting right there, ready to fly. I can preach it now. I'm wanting to, but I'm not going to. But I want you to know about that good opportunity for a lot of people to get saved. And so James chapter 1, let's start in verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, look at me, if you will. Keep your Bible open. We're going to use it. Tonight, I'm going to teach on the recipe for destruction by temptation. The recipe for destruction by temptation. There is much misteaching about temptation in our world today. Let me say this. God cannot and God will not tempt anybody with sin or wrong. Let me say that again. God cannot, God will not tempt anybody with sin or wrong. You say, well, this came to me, so it must be from God. God doesn't tempt any man with sin or wrong. You have to understand that. Sin itself is the temptation. Did you catch that? Sin itself is the temptation. And God does not want his children to sin. Why would he tempt you to sin? You don't purposely set your children up to do wrong. You don't purposely set somebody up to do wrong. That's called evil. Everybody doing okay? But he does, by the way, temptation itself is not sin. Sin is temptation itself. It has temptation attached to it, but temptation is not sin. Jesus was led of the devil to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. If Jesus could be tempted, he was without sin. Therefore, sin or temptation is not sin itself. Being tempted is not sin. But sin has its own temptation to it. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, hang on. In other words, temptation is the lure or the hook with the bait to draw the attention to what's really there. That lure is to hide that hook from the fish. Now, sin has its own temptation attached, and sin has many layers. And sin, as it starts unfolding, gets deeper and deeper and more severe. May I say this? The devil will use as many, please understand this word in its truest sense. He's going to use as many senses as he can to lure you away. He'll use your eyes. He'll use your ears. He'll use touch. He'll use smell. He'll use association, any feelings he can involve with it. He will use as many of your senses as possible. We don't have time to go there, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, look, look at the fruit. It's good to look on. It's good to taste. It's good. So he was tempting with the eyes. He was tempting with taste. He was tempting with hearing about how wonderful it would be. Matter of fact, he uses at least four of the five senses there in Genesis chapter 3, if you look at it. And we have to understand the devil is very good at understanding our flesh, our feelings. Now, let me use this. Brother Josh, I'm going to throw my backpack at you here. You're going to need that in a second. All right, that's my hunting pack. When I go hunting, there are some things that I do. Yeah, pop it open there. In with the deke should be my... I've got some of my camo here. That this is just light stuff that I throw over. It's called a hex suit. It's got special stuff inside of it that literally takes the electrical impulses that your body throws off, and it neutralizes them, and the animals don't sense that you're there, even though they see you. And I've had that happen. I've had turkey standing on my feet before. You know anything about a turkey? That doesn't happen. I had hidden birds sitting on my boot while I was turkey hunting. I've had deer just walk right up by me and just look at me and keep on going. But you do that to try to blend in so that they don't see you as well. Deer are about as colorblind as I am. So you use that to fool their eyes a little bit. When you're turkey hunting, go ahead and pull one of those out. Open it up and you can model it. You do better with the turkey. You don't have to put it on your head, though. I knew where you were headed with that. I knew where he was going with that. But when you go out turkey hunting, I have sticks that go underneath these things, and you set these up out in the field, and it will... It's the only one he could shoot this year. I didn't get one either. You're right. I missed a couple. But anyway, you set these up, and what you're trying to do is bring in the turkeys so that you have an opportunity to shoot them. You're trying to fool them with their eyes. You can put those away. There's sometimes you'll put bait out in certain areas where it's legal to do. It's not here, but I know people that plant apple trees near their stand or different things and that type of thing. But then there's certain, you don't have to move that. That one moves with the slide on the handle there. But then if you're out deer hunting, we have grunt calls. Go ahead. This is him, not me. There you go. That's a doe call there. Then you've got certain times of deer season, pull the antlers out and you can rattle those. You pull out an old set of antlers, and if you start rattling those together, go ahead. Sounds like two bucks fighting, and then the big bucks in the area say, who's fighting over there? I want to get in on this. They must be fighting over a girl. I'm going to win. And they go after it, and at other times they have what they call a can call. And this is a doe call that sometimes will bring in a buck. You say, what are you trying to do? Fool their ears. They have, and I'm not going to bring these in. They have deer scents out there. There's nothing that smells as wonderful as deer pee. It is the nastiest smelling stuff in the world. But if it'll fool a buck's nose, it'll fool a buck's nose. Who cares? All right? Anything else in there that's worthwhile? I don't think so. I took all my bullets out, so that should be okay. Now, say, what do you do, though? Those are lures. You're trying to fool the animal that you're hunting that you are something that you're not, to draw them in to where you can get a shot at them. That is exactly what temptation is. 2 years ago, I was sitting in my tree stand. I rattled and I grunted. The wind started blowing and I could smell a buck coming. So I tickled the antlers again, and all of a sudden a doe come running through the field, running right through the woods. She ran right past me and stopped. I just grabbed my gun and I waited. All right, man, I could smell that old ruddy buck. He was coming. He came to the edge of the trees and stopped, and then he put his nose down. He just started walking through the woods. And he got, I promise you, he was as close as Brother Greg is to me right now, and I hit him with a 30-06. And he just... He almost went to the ground, and he took about three hops, and then he rolled, and then he tried to get up, and then he rolled again, and that was it. He didn't know he was rolling. He was dead on his feet. Say, what did you do? He didn't know who I was or what I was, but he thought I was something I was not. And I lured him in. I tempted him, and he died. Now, Satan, sin, evil, etc., can only attack the flesh and the soul. Listen to that statement. Satan, sin, and evil can only attack the flesh and the soul. Say why? Because your spirit is that which allows you to communicate with God. He can't affect your spirit. He can affect your soul. He can affect your body, your flesh, but he cannot affect your spirit. He cannot tempt your spirit. Why? Because God can't be tempted. God can't be tempted. Now listen to this very carefully here. Therefore, sin's attacks are always on the body and the soul. The soul meaning your feelings and your emotions. Your feelings and your emotions are your soul, not your spirit. So he can attack your body, your feelings, your emotions, but he cannot attack your spirit. Listen to this statement. Every false religion is all based on the body or the soul thinking. Oh, we gotta you gotta feel the spirit. Spirit and feelings don't go together. That's spirit and soul. It's either spiritual or it's soul. So if you have to feel it for it to be spiritual, it is soul or flesh based. That means this: trying to be spiritual on your own, thinking because you've jibber-jabbered or you've been healed or you had this moving experience or you were warm and fuzzy. I have this feeling. That's not spiritual. This is why developing our spirit is so important. It's the only defense we have to temptation. Your spirit is the only defense you have to temptation, because your flesh, your soul, my flesh, my soul are weak just like everybody else's. Say why? Because we're sinners. The only hope we have is that the spirit outdoes the soul and the flesh. Now, if we only use our flesh and our soul or our emotions, we will eventually give in to temptation. Well, I knew a preacher and he fell from grace. Well, he may have fallen, but it wasn't from grace. Can't fall from grace. You can fall from being gracious. You can do sin, but may I say this, everybody sins. Temptation itself is not sin. Yielding to the temptation is sin. Now, God gives us a recipe for the destruction of by temptation when we yield to it. And I want to share that with you tonight. Let me give you the four ingredients here. Number one, drawn away by our own lust. Number two, enticed. Number three, lust conceives with enticement to become sin. And number four, sin brings death. That is the destruction line of temptation. Someone once said this, oh my soul, probably 35, 40 years ago, LSD is a drug. They called this the LSD of the Bible, lust, sin, and death. I don't know how true that is. It's just a statement that was used, but I know this. There's four elements of this recipe, and I want to warn you about it tonight. This is not one of those recipes you want to go duplicate. There are some recipes in life you don't want to duplicate, right, ladies? It didn't work the first time, why, or the second time, or the third time, why try it again? So this is one of those you don't want to duplicate. First of all, look at verse number 14. But every man is tempted. Now notice that. Every man is tempted. It doesn't say if a man is tempted. Everybody look at me. We're all tempted.
Right.
None of us can get away from it. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now, let me help you with that statement. Drawn away of his own lust. The word lust there is the word desire or strong desire. It is not just a, and I hate using this term, but I must, because usually when you say the word lust, you only think about something that's sexual, but it's not. Lust means anything that you desire. Some of you lust money. Some of you lust position. Some of you lust power. Miss or Madam or whatever, Pelosi. Some people lust power. It's not just something that is sensual as far as the physical life would go. It is far deeper than that. The word lust means anything you desire so strongly that you'll do anything to get. Some people lust food. Some people lust chocolate. I'm not pointing at my secretary. Some people lust whatever it is in life that is that strong, burning desire. I think we can lust spiritual things. You can lust power of the Holy Spirit. You can lust for love and wisdom. It is a strong desire. Does that make sense there? Be careful that you don't associate that word with one thing. So lust is a strong desire. The word's drawn away. This is very interesting. It means out of place, out of time, or drifting away. Out of place, out of time, or drifting away. Did you know that a lot of sin is a good thing at the wrong time? God says that you're supposed to get saved, then baptized, then join the church. When you put baptism before salvation and baptism and church membership before salvation, you have a timing issue and it becomes sinful. If you put baptism to get conditional for salvation or church membership conditional for salvation, you've got the wrong timing and you're guilty of sin. Make sense to everybody? God says that you ought to date, get engaged, be married, then have a physical relationship. If you date and have the physical relationship, but you don't go through the other process, it is a timing issue. The physical relationship between a man and a woman within the bounds of their own marriage is fine. Outside of that, it's wrong. Amen. This preacher's a little bit more radical than most. I don't believe young people ought to make a commitment to be pure until they get married. I think they ought to make a commitment to be pure through their marriage. Amen. Why stop when you get married? How about we stay pure through our marriages? They might not break up as often. Everybody doing okay? So many of the sins of our life are timing issues or out of place, being at the wrong place, going to the bar to eat all the time. Eventually, you're gonna mess up. Being around the wrong influence, stand not in the way of sinners, sit not in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. If we're in the wrong places on a regular basis, eventually we're going to, okay, I don't preach in churches that disagree with the King James Bible. Say why? I'm not going to go preach in the wrong place. Right. I'm not going to preach for somebody that doesn't believe in salvation by grace through faith. Amen. I won't do it. I won't join the ministerial association. Say why? Because I'm not sitting down having dinner once a month with people that don't believe in that book, don't believe in salvation by grace, and don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Not doing it. So I don't want to be guilty of being in the wrong place. You say, well, that kind of narrows things down. That's okay. I'm quite busy here. I'm not worried about it. Popularity isn't as wonderful as everybody thinks it is. So why are we so worried about, Billy Graham messed up when he decided he was going to start associating with the Pentecostals and the Church of God and the Catholics the community churches, the Nazarenes and the Presbyterians, when he'd have his open air meetings or his stadium meetings, and he would turn over all the follow up to what he did to all those other denominations that did not believe right, Billy Graham was wrong. I happen to know two presidents that Billy Graham won to Christ. But Billy Graham was wrong. Everybody doing all right? I'm okay. I'm not afraid to call names. I'm not interested in being world known. When Billy Graham went and kissed the Pope's ring, if I'd have got that close, I'd have bit his finger off. Swallow that puppy. Get on a plane fast. Amen. Pull the pineapple off his head. $500,000 grapefruit or something. We can get drawn away by lust. Our desire for something can draw us away and get us out of timing. You wanting to get ahead financially can get you out of church when you're supposed to be in church. Ouch. You wanting more education will keep you out of church so that you can do your online classes when you're supposed to be in church. I'm not mad at anybody. There are just times that I think that we need to find out what's most important. Yes, sir. Well, I've got to have family time. Okay, family time's important. How about we cut back the hours maybe at work or at play? How many hours you put into video games and put it in your family? Instead of quitting on God. Okay, we just went a little bit into meddling there. Drawn away. Fellas, that's like when you're driving down the road and you see those deer on the side of the road. And you say, look at those deer over there. And your wife says, you're in the wrong lane. You've drifted over. Say, how do you know? None of your business. You can't hit them with the gun, hit them with the bumper. Amen? Where's Mung when you need her? The woman's killed more deer than most of the men in this church. And she didn't use a gun once. You start drifting when you've desired to see the deer more than paying attention to the road. The desire to see whatever was there was stronger than your desire to steer the car the right direction. That is exactly what temptation does for you. The devil's lights are very, very flashy on the outside, but very dark on the inside. Do you ever notice the bars and the honky-tonks and the strip clubs and everything are real flashy on the outside? But they tell me that they're pretty dark on the inside. I've only been in four and happen to know the four I was in was dark. That's the bars. I've never been to a strip joint. Have no idea. All right. You'd have to ask Brother... Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for sure. You know, the devil's flash is only to draw you in. Once he gets you in, it's pretty dark. Las Vegas on the strip looks pretty good. Go behind the buildings, look at everybody living in homeless places. Go look at all the guys laying in the vomit on the edge of the street. The casinos are real bright and flashy. How about we follow the people home and find out when they can't pay their bills and they lose their marriages, lose their kids, and lose their house over it? Right. You see, just because it's bright and flashy doesn't mean it's good to have. See, some of you desire friendship so much that you'll ruin your family for friendship. You see, when we put our desires above the tasks at hand, we can be tempted. Some of you long to have certain things so bad that you won't do what you're supposed to do. One of the things about training children is this. You've got to teach them to do what's right. Then the extras are added after you've done that which is right. Too many people want the added extras and not do what they have to get done. You can do all the extra credit you want. But if you took my classes, unless you had all your work done, the extra credit didn't count. I never let extra credit make up for poor character. Everybody doing okay? If you didn't pass the test, I didn't give you extra credit to try to make it up to get a passing grade. No, take it over. Or fail. It's one or the other. Say, oh, you were mean. I may have been mean, but I knew what extra credit was for. It was for the extra achievers who got their regular work done and done right. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He didn't say he'd give you whatever you want. He said he would give you the right desires. So we ought to have the right desires, the right lusts. Desires are not bad unless we use them out of the wrong time, the wrong place, or it causes us to drift away. There's nothing wrong with dating, but high school is not the time for it. Wait till you get a little older. Wait till you have enough sense to do it. Say, when's that? About 60. No, I'm teasing. Our desires for money, jobs, positions, titles, food, or anything can cause us to end up in sin. You don't have to desire something that's bad, but if it's out of time, out of place, it can cause you to the point where you will sin. Boy, that's good stuff. I have to hurry. Number two, then enticement comes. So we're drawn away by our own desires. Then enticement comes. The word enticement is an interesting word. It means to stop, to think, or contemplate. Stop to think or contemplate. In other words, this is what happens. Well, so-and-so got a new car. That's drawn away. I wonder if I could figure out how to buy it. You know, I've got this credit card and that credit card. I think I could get enough out of that to where I could get the loan that I need. And maybe if I just don't tell my wife till it's done. Yeah, I think I could work it out. Say, what are you doing? You're being enticed. You're thinking about it. Is having a new car sin? No. Not necessarily. If you can afford it, it's not. Sorry. It's when you go into unwise debt to do it, that you can't pay it back without straining everything, without missing church to go to work because you have to have the overtime so that you can pay your bills. Some of you, if you didn't have overtime, you couldn't pay your bills. You're who I'm talking to. And I don't know who that is. I just know people. You live off your base salary. Your overtime ought to be what you put away. If you live like I do, you have a salary. You can work all the overtime you want, don't get paid anymore. That's not an issue. But may I say this? You can't stop. You can't stop seeing the bait. But you don't have to think about it and go back and look at it again. When my boys were growing up, I'd say there's certain things you can't stop from seeing the first time, but you don't have to look at it second time. When my kids were growing up, I have two of them here. They're going to remember. I didn't let my boys look at billboards. To this day, I still don't see billboards. Say why? Because a lot of them aren't worth looking at. There's things on there you shouldn't see or shouldn't want to see. So I would teach my boys, fellas, put your eyes right. And it wasn't, why, Dad? Because they had a little sister in the back seat. Tell me, don't look at. Pesky little sisters. Right, Josh? Somebody say amen. Yeah. You say, why was that? I was trying to keep them from being enticed. I couldn't stop them from seeing it the first time, but you don't have to go around the block and look at it again and go around the block and look at it again. That's called enticement. You're thinking about it. Boy, that's good stuff. You can't necessarily stop everything that pops up on your computer, but you don't have to sit there and stare at it.
Amen.
Jesus was tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. You can go back and read it later. But notice something. He didn't think about the temptations. When Satan looked at Jesus and said, "You've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights," don't you think he was hungry? He said, "How about you command those stones to become bread and you could feed yourself?" Is there anything wrong with eating bread after 40 days? No. Now, some of you ladies have turned bread into stone, but Jesus could have turned the stones into bread. I thought that was pretty good. There was nothing wrong with it, but what was Jesus's answer? He didn't say, "Well, let me think about that. You know, I am kind of hungry. Probably could get some butter put on them things too." Matter of fact, could get a chicken sandwich out of that if I tried real hard, you know. Jesus could have contemplated it, and he did not. Immediately, Jesus said, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He didn't focus on his desire. He focused on the word of God. All three times, Satan tempted him. By the way, the temptations, I preached this about a year ago. Went through what those three temptations were. Oh, you can go into the pinnacle of the temple and cast yourself off, and you could command the angels. He could have, but it wasn't his to command. He didn't need to. He took him up into a high mountain, showed him everything, said you could be the ruler, you could be the kingdom of all this. Jesus didn't need to be the king of all that. He's coming back to be the king of the whole world. It wasn't time for him to set up the kingdom. And for him to take over as king then, he would have sinned. It wasn't the right time. And every time Jesus said, "Scripture says, it is written, Scripture says, it is written," he didn't contemplate, he didn't think about the temptation, he thought about Scripture to respond. Boy, that's good stuff. He always answered by Scripture. Write this down, and we'll turn there. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Can I show you how you ought to learn how to think? Philippians 4, 8 is the test for your thinking. When wrong comes to you, Philippians 4, 8. When temptation comes to you, Philippians 4, 8. Are you ready? "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Can I show you how to get out of the snare of the devil of temptation? True. Hollywood's not.
Nope.
Honest. Politics aren't.
Yeah.
Just. Our society's not just. I could go down the list. Put what you're going to think about to the Philippians 4:8 test. True. Honest. Pure. Lovely. Just. Any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Those are the things you're supposed to think about, not what you want.
Amen.
We want too many things in our society. Enticement is unscheduled or undisciplined thinking. Enticement is unscheduled or undisciplined thinking. There are people in this room, if you're not careful, you'll let grief take over your life and you'll live in depression. Can I tell you why? Because you don't schedule when you hurt. You let everything remind you of what hurts. Instead of, like Jesus, Scripture says. You say, "Well, how do you do that, preacher?" When something comes to you that reminds you of it, saying, "Look, I have a time scheduled to think about that, and now's not it. I'm putting you aside, and I'll do that later." Depression. Depression is unscheduled thinking. I can get you out of depression. It's called a schedule.
Amen.
I can get any person in the world out of depression if they'll follow a schedule. Guaranteed. Anxiety. Oh, I'm just about to fall apart. Oh, I'm just always so nervous. No, you got ADD. No, you know, it's just anxiety is unplanned thinking. It's unscheduled thinking. Living beyond your means. It's unscheduled, unplanned thinking. We often think our way into sin. Quit thinking about it. Amen. Quit thinking about sinful things. Think about Philippians 4:8 things. And I must hurry. Number three. Whew. So we have, first of all, that we're drawn away of our own lust. Number two, we're enticed. Number three, lust conceives with enticement. Not only do we get drawn away, not only do we think about it, but lust conceives with enticement. The word conceive means form or devise a plan of action. When you start forming a plan of action to get what you want, that's when lust has conceived with enticement. Well, I'm just going to go to the new car lot just to see what's there. Bad idea. If you don't have the wherewithal to pay for it, don't go visit. Now, I have a new car I bought last November, December, I don't know, sometime back in then. But I had the money. Matter of fact, I'm paying less for that one than I was my other one. I walked in, I looked at two vehicles. I said, give me a price on that one, give me the price on that one. Don't you want to drive them? Nope, same model of what I got, just newer, don't worry about it. Looked at the prices. This one was higher sticker price, but with all the discounts and stuff, I got it cheaper than the other one and said, that's the one I want. I called my wife. I said, I have this color and this color. I don't care. Okay. She wasn't even with me. So when I bought it, I was at the dealership 1 hour and 15 minutes and drove away. Went and picked her up so she could come back and sign the papers. When I pulled in the parking lot, I said, that's the other one. Oh, I'm glad you didn't get that. I don't like that color. I said, I called you. Well, I like this one better. I said, good. Don't send me by myself next time, all right? I got it right once. Don't tempt it, did, all right? There was no color written on there. You know, it's not like a crayon or something. When we lust or desire something and think about it at the wrong time, we then devise a plan which will hatch into sin. We then think of how we can do this. Young people are good about this. Well, Dad said no. Maybe if I do this, I can get Mom to say yes, and I'll do it, and I'll tell Dad I did what Mom said. You have just now gone from lust to sin because enticement conceived with lust. You formulated a plan. Okay? can you view it on a screen? Maybe you figure out how to switch screens so nobody knows. Maybe I can do it behind authorities' sight so that they don't know I've done it. Oh, you can for a while, but eventually it'll catch up. Trust me. I'll get it, and then I'll figure out how to pay for it later. When we devise a pathway to get something, you've done it in your heart already. That's why Jesus said in the Old Testament, it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. In the New Testament, he said, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery already in his heart. Why is that? Because he saw, he desired, he thought about it, and then he devised a plan to do it. You see, the planning from lust and enticement is putting sin into action. In God's eyes, if you're planning on how to do wrong, you're guilty of the wrong you're about to do, whether you do it or not, because you've already done it in your own heart. Boy, that's good. Number four, sin brings death. And I'm going to finish up on time, don't worry. Proof that we're all sinners, we're all going to die. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But let me say this, that death is more than just your body dying. It is a spiritual death. Yes, it is. But it's also a physical death. Yes, it is. It can also be an emotional death. Do you realize when you sin, there's emotions that die? Some of you that have had someone who has cheated on you or who has hurt you, you've had emotions that died. Some of you have a situation where you have step-parents or parents that have separated and there's a death of emotion there. You can have a death of dreams. You can have a death of desires or plans. I just use this as an illustration. I have nobody in mind, but a high school girl gets pregnant out of wedlock. She has a death because there's no graduation. She has a death to her parents' dreams and desires for her. It can be death to the future that she wanted for herself. And it can bring emotional death for two families that are involved. That one act can bring death to many people and many different situations. Just one thing. And by the way, it's not just the girl's fault. The boy's family is going through as much pain as the girl's family, or should be. Now, let me finish. The devil's sinful temptations are always physical or emotional. God does not ever tempt us with wrong. We need right desires or lusts. We need not to be enticed or caused to think about wrong. That's why we ought to be careful what we put before our eyes. Be careful how much news you watch. Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brother, whatsoever things are true. There goes the news media. We need not to be enticed or caused to think about wrong. Can I tell you why there's so much murder? Because we see it on the news every day. We are training murderers by showing it in the news every day. Therefore, we think about doing wrong, and then we begin to plan how we can do our wrong, and that brings death. That is exactly the recipe that God gave us for how temptation can destroy us. It doesn't have to. I showed you the safeguards in there so that you don't have to do this tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I got to shut up. All of us are going to be tempted. Every man is tempted.